Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 83 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg.
The storms stall for a while. It takes a lot of factors to get them moving again, and it becomes a little easier once they start moving and we can see a clear direction.
The remnants of Hurricane Harvey are hitting Kentucky tonight.
An Indiana man is being sought for question in the death of a Somerset woman.
A man has been arrested for a deadly shooting in Lexington.
A watershed report near Georgetown shows serious contamination.
A flood-damaged road in Mason County is being repaired.
In sports, the Moorhead Eagles host Kentucky Christian in their season opener tonight at James Stadium.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Flash flood warnings begin tonight in the WMKY listening area. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The National Weather Service in Jackson has placed Rowan County on its list of area counties that will be under a flash flood watch that starts tonight. Heavy rainfall is expected, with fragments from Hurricane Harvey heading into eastern Kentucky. Chuck Greif is a forecaster for the NWS office in Jackson, Kentucky.
We're looking for more steady rains to move in later on this evening, probably in the Moorhead area, not till after midnight. And then going to be pretty steady from then on out through much of the day on Friday and even continuing into Friday night. The heaviest looks like it will be during the late night hours tonight and into Friday morning, but there will certainly be some decent rainfall amounts still around all the way into Saturday morning.
Greif says the flash flood watch goes into effect this evening and lasts through Friday night.
Crews with Kentucky Power are helping restore services to victims of Hurricane Harvey. 95 KP employees and contractors left Kentucky on Saturday to assist the company's sister organization, AEP Texas. Corporate communication manager Allison Barker says the trip took longer than expected.
We've all seen the devastation on TV, so it took them a lot longer than it normally would to reach there, because when they got towards Houston, they ran into all this flooding and had to reroute around all the flooding to make it to Corpus Christi.
Kentucky Power is part of a mutual assistance agreement with AEP Texas. That company sends crews to eastern Kentucky when winter weather disturbs service in the region.
John Calipari and Kentucky Players will co-host a telethon to aid Texas victims of Hurricane Harvey. The Wildcats coach and wife Ellen Calipari, UK Players, and program benefactors Joe and Kelly Kraft will work with Lexington Station WKYT and statewide affiliates in hosting the Teaming Up for Texas telethon. That will take place from 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. on Sunday, and proceeds will go to the American Red Cross.
The Somerset Police Department is asking for the public's help in finding a person of interest in the murder of a local woman. According to LEX 18, the man in question was convicted for the death of his own father. Police identified the individual as Dwight Mitchell Bell. In 1999, Bell was arrested for the death of his father in Indiana. He was convicted of manslaughter and sentenced to several years in prison. In Somerset last week, Ruthie Carolyn New's body was found in the activity center of the Denham Street Baptist Church. Police aren't saying yet how New died. Bell is approximately 5 feet 10 inches tall and weighs approximately 170 pounds. Bell is 41 years old, has brown hair and blue eyes. He was last seen in the Indianapolis area.
A Greenup County man is facing abuse charges after police say they found child pornography on his computer. According to WSAZ, 24-year-old Walter Conley of Flatwoods is charged with one count of distribution of a matter portraying a sexual performance by a minor. Kentucky State Police executed a search warrant on the man's home on Tuesday. Conley was investigated by the KSP Electronic Crimes Branch after they traced a picture uploaded from his IP address. He now faces up to 5 years in prison if convicted. He is housed in the Greenup County Detention Center with a bond set at $5,000.
A man has been arrested for a deadly shooting in Lexington, according to authorities. WLEX reports 35-year-old Chance Robertson allegedly killed William Josh Cole on Anderson Street back on May 22nd. They say before Cole was shot multiple times, there was a verbal altercation between the two. A warrant was served late Wednesday night by the Nicholasville Police Department. Robertson is currently lodged in the Jessamine County Detention Center.
Neighbors are calling a Prestonsburg man a hero after he stopped an apparent burglar using a sledgehammer. Todd Trout lives on Highland Avenue. He tells WSAZ that he woke up last week to strange noises coming from his basement. When he went to check on it, he found a burglar going through his tools.
It scared me. It made me mad. Everything all at once, you know. I said, here I am in a pair of boxer shorts and a shirt, and what do I do next?
Trout grabbed a nearby sledgehammer and placed the man under citizen's arrest. Police identified the alleged burglar as Jeremy Carr. He now faces charges of second-degree burglary and public intoxication.
Police in Martin County say scammers are claiming to be Suddenlink communication employees. According to WYMT, police say two men have been seen driving a gray Ford Escape with a Suddenlink logo on the side of the vehicle. The scammers are going to people's doors saying they are there to collect a bill that's due and, in some instances, removing cable boxes from homes. Officials are stressing to not let anyone in your home without seeing proper identification. If you have any information about the scam, you are asked to call the Martin County Sheriff's Department.
Eight women are being cited after Charleston police say they conducted a prostitution sting Wednesday night. According to WSAZ, Lieutenant Steve Cooper says there's been an increase in streetwalking prostitution in recent months. Seven of the women were picked up on the streets in the west side of Charleston and charged with solicitation, which is a misdemeanor. Lieutenant Cooper says this has been an ongoing investigation and the rise in prostitution is believed to be tied to the drug epidemic. Charleston police will begin to target the Johns to stop the demand for prostitutes. Lieutenant Cooper says their identities will be made public once they are caught.
A preliminary report confirms the Cane Run watershed near Georgetown is suffering from serious contamination, including high levels of E. coli bacteria. WUKY's Josh James has details.
WLEX-TV reports findings by Third Rock Consultants suggest Cane Run Creek, a tributary feeding Georgetown and Scott County's fresh water supply, is under threat from human activity. E. coli has been linked to a pair of failed package sewage treatment plants at the Ponderosa and Spindletop trailer parks on the border of Scott and Fayette counties. Plans to provide municipal sewage service and install a pump station could cost up to $4 million. Lexington Mayor Jim Gray has budgeted $475,000 to pay for the city's share of the price tag. The Kentucky Division of Water commissioned the study, which drew samples from the creek in 2015 and 2016. The consultant's final review is expected in September. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
The Carter Fiscal Court passed a resolution Tuesday that will help the county avoid future issues with reimbursement for the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. Carter is still waiting to hear exactly how much money they will need to return to the KTC after it was discovered that reimbursement for projects from 2010 to 2014 were improperly documented. Judge Executive Mike Malone says Carter County tries to keep roads passable.
Before we spent this became what we have, we doubled our road budget. We couldn't do what people were expecting us to do. And to double our road budget, we would have to multiply our taxes by 300%, which isn't going to happen.
Malone says most counties have to supplement the state gas tax money with cash from the county's general fund to make road repairs.
A flood-damaged segment of a state highway in Mason County remains under repair. Kentucky Transportation Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says crews have been working since last week on part of Kentucky 8 near Dover, where an embankment near a creek failed during a late July flood.
This week they've started to deliver some rock out there to shore up the embankment with rock. And then once it completes, they'll put the guardrail back and we'll be able to reopen that road. But right now, to get that work done with the heavy equipment that we have to have on the highway to get it done, it's a narrow two-lane road. We are closing that during the work days, about 7 to 4:30 each day.
Blair notes that one lane of that section of Kentucky 8 is open at night, but there are temporary signals in operation to help regulate traffic. He expects the project to be finished in about 3 weeks.
Like other law enforcement agencies around the state, Moorhead's Police Department will have its officers out in full force during the Labor Day holiday weekend. Thousands of additional drivers are expected to be on the nation's road over the next few days, and Captain Kyle Callahan says the MPD will have extra personnel on duty with the goal of catching drunk drivers.
A lot of people see Labor Day as the unofficial end of summer, and they try to go out and, you know, get on the lake. There's a lot of lake traffic, you know, and, you know, we remind you that boating under the influence is just as dangerous as driving under the influence, but, you know, inside the city limits, we'll have more patrols, we'll have some checkpoints in trying to get, you know, drunk drivers off the road.
Callahan says state and federal grants are providing the Moorhead Police Department with the money needed to put more of its officers on duty during the Labor Day holiday weekend.
Rowan County is still looking at applying for a federal Transportation Alternatives Program grant this fall. The county wants to add more hiking and biking paths in the area. Judge Executive Walter Blevins says an engineer is currently designing them.
We're a trail town, and I think those kinds of things attract people. But people like to get on their bicycles. They like to walk the streams. They like to walk the roads. They like to be able to. This would enable people to basically get on a bicycle and drive down to Cavern Lake instead of having to drive down there. And we think that's a positive thing. We think we got a good opportunity maybe to receive one of those grants.
Blevins says Rowan County is also considering working with the City of Moorhead and local Rails to Trails group on a trails project. Entities can apply for up to $1 million in TAP funding for their proposed projects. Those grant applications must be submitted by early October.
A Morgan County High School student brought home national honors in science and technology this summer. Ethan Lewis ranked 10th at the 2017 Technology Student Association National Conference in Orlando, Florida. Kentucky TSA State Director Mark Harrell says Lewis competed in high school level dragster design.
The goal of that is they build a CO2 dragster, so it's powered by a little CO2 cartridge like you would put into an airsoft gun or a paintball gun. It's fired via a computer controlled mechanism, and these cars are racing down the track. Some will get up to 40 or 50 miles an hour.
More than 60 students from 12 Kentucky middle and high schools represented the Commonwealth during this year's conference.
With further help from the National Rifle Association, Lewis County hopes to make more improvements to its new public shooting range. The range opened earlier this summer after getting $13,000 from the NRA to help build key parts of it. Judge Executive Todd Ruckel says the county will submit a grant application this fall to the organization as it looks to add an electronic card swipe entry gate, a security system, a concession stand, and restroom facilities.
The NRA, actually, you can apply for a $50,000 grant with $25,000 of that being matching, you know, cash from them. That's what we're looking at doing. We're actually putting together a detailed budget at this time with those things I just mentioned. And I believe we're going to be able to get the majority of that done.
Lewis County's public shooting range is located off Kentucky 59 near Vanceburg. It includes both pistol and rifle areas. For more information about the facility, you can call 606-541-6244. Taking a look at an extended weather forecast for the WMKY listening area, tonight a 60% chance of showers, cloudy with a low around 60 degrees. On Friday, showers with thunderstorms also possible after around 2 p.m. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain, highs near 68. Friday night, continued showers and thunderstorms. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain and lows around 57. And on Saturday, showers likely, mainly before 3 p.m. Chance of precipitation 70%. And cloudy with a high near 65. In Ashland right now, it's 83 degrees, and Winchester 80 degrees, Inez 80, Flemingsburg 81, Lexington 83, and here in Moorhead on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 82 degrees.
In our feature segment today, in light of a recent court ruling, pipeline opponents are asking the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to consider the climate impacts of the Mountain Valley Pipeline and the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. Dan Hyman has that report.
Last week, the D.C. District Court ruled with the Sierra Club that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission should have considered the greenhouse emissions from the gas carried by a pipeline from Alabama to Florida. Kirk Bowers with the Virginia chapter of the Sierra Club says they'll push for that decision to be applied to the Mountain Valley and Atlantic Coast pipelines. He says burning their gas would mean more carbon than all Virginia power plants now emit, nearly 100 million tons a year.
And that's almost double what we have now. And that means we're blowing our carbon budget at a time when we can't afford to use more fossil fuels and emit more greenhouse gases.
The companies behind the pipelines did include those carbon emissions in their applications, but Bowers calls their estimates incomplete, inaccurate, and low. Energy companies have plans for about a dozen new pipelines to carry Marcellus and Utica gas. They argue the projects are justified by future demand, although others dispute that. Mountain Valley and Atlantic Coast are two of the three pipelines that would go from northern West Virginia to eastern Virginia and North Carolina. The Sierra Club has pushed for FERC to consider cumulative impacts and overall need, arguing the commission was created to prevent duplicate projects. But Bowers says FERC insists on looking at each pipeline separately.
FERC said they weren't in the business of determining whether they should have three pipelines or not. And they've got all these reasons why we don't need more pipelines. And FERC is sitting there taking a blind eye or approach.
He says FERC also will grant permission for pipelines to go ahead even before the application process and court challenges are finished. He says, in fact, the Alabama pipeline was finished and operating before last week's court ruling came down. For the West Virginia News Service, I'm Dan Hyman.
It's 447 and 83 degrees on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm Leanne Akers, here with Jacob Lindbergh, and we're glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education collaboration and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
Good afternoon with WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Morehead State Football Eagles kick off the 2017 season tonight at 6 o'clock at Jane Stadium when they take on Kentucky Christian University. Looking to learn more about his team, MSU head coach Rob Tenure admits he's more worried about the play of his Eagles than he is about NAIA member KCU.
The first game's kind of it's that game where you go out and you kind of do your thing, and you've got to adapt and make some adjustments along the way. There's not a lot of preparation besides preparing yourself. But we're excited to get going and ready to kick things off for 2017.
Tenure will be getting his first look at MSU's team that has been rebuilt in the wake of the spring graduation losses of two record setters in quarterback Austin Gayhafer and wide receiver Jake Raymond, along with All-PFL defensive end Cope Briggs. The Kentucky football team kicks off the 2017 season on Saturday when they visit Southern Mississippi. While saying his team is much better than the group that fell to Southern Miss in last year's season opener in Lexington, UK head coach Mark Stoops says he's anxious to see how his team performs on Saturday.
You know, there's a lot of unknowns. You feel good about your team. You feel like you know you put in a lot of work, but the first game is the first game. And the fact that we're going on the road, we always have a plan, but, you know, things change very quickly. And we're going to have to make sure we adapt much better than we did a year ago in the opener and play a more sound football game.
Saturday's game in Hattiesburg kicks off at 4 p.m. With heavy rain in the forecast for tomorrow night as the result of Hurricane Harvey, several area high school football games will be played tonight instead of on Friday. In a battle of perfect teams, Fleming County coach Bill Spencer's Panthers are at home to face Greenup County in a game that looks pretty even on paper.
I think it's going to come down to, like every game does, turnovers. You know, we've got to protect the football, and we've got to find ways to force them into turnovers. If not, you know, we saw them beat a good Russell team last week because they forced turnovers and blocked a punt. We've got to find a way to protect the football and force turnovers to keep us in it.
Also tonight, Bath visits Powell County. East Carter travels to Betsy Lane. West Carter entertains Raceland. Ashland Blazer is at home to meet George Washington of West Virginia, and Fairview is at Nicholas County. Morgan County will now visit Jenkins on Saturday. Round County's game against Mason County has also been moved. The game will now be played on Saturday at 1 p.m. at Morehead State's Jane Stadium, but Round County Associate Athletic Director Randy Wallace says the contest could be moved again.
Right now, the biggest issue would be the timing of the rain and how heavy it is. There is the possibility that if we have heavier rain overnight Friday, that it could cause some flood issues and may have to reevaluate and make a different decision.
Regardless of when the game is played, Roundhead coach Kelly Ford knows his team will be in for a battle with the Royals.
Mason County is a team that is really athletic. They're going to spread us out and try to get those guys into space and line up and run the ball downhill. So probably won't be as a physical game as it was Friday night, but you know, we got two teams that are pretty equal of the talent level, so we'll see how it turns out.
Both teams go into the game at 1-1 on the year. While Round County is coming off of a 30-20 loss at Bath County last Friday, Mason is trying to bounce back from last week's 18-14 loss to rival Fleming County. The Cincinnati Reds wrapped up their series with the New York Mets earlier today. The Reds picked up a 7-2 win over the New Yorkers behind winning pitcher Robert Stevenson's six innings of work. Scooter Gennett, Joey Votto, and Stuart Turner all homered for the Reds. Cincinnati opens up a series with the Pirates tomorrow up in Pittsburgh. The University of Louisville basketball program has announced a pro day. WMKY's Sean Delaney reports.
U of L head coach Rick Pitino announced earlier this week that the Cards will be hosting a pro day this fall for NBA front office personnel and scouts to watch the Cardinal players work out. Louisville has six players considered to be potential NBA prospects. Upperclassman Dang Adele, Ray Spalding, and Anas Mahmoud, along with sophomore V.J. King and freshman Malik Williams and Brian Bowen, are all drawing interest from NBA teams. Pitino says a date for the pro day has not yet been set. For WMKY Sports, I'm Sean Delaney.
Some notes from the NBA. The trade of NBA All-Star guards Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas between Cleveland and Boston is now a done deal. The Celtics will send the Cavaliers another draft pick, a 2020 second rounder. Cleveland expressed concerns after its medical personnel took a look at Thomas's injured right hip. And the NBA has fined the Los Angeles Lakers $500,000 for violating the NBA's anti-tampering rule, after general manager Rob Pelinka was found to have had contact with Paul George's agent after the team had already been warned. George has been rumored to have plans on signing with the Lakers after his current contract expires next summer. Both Round County soccer teams are away from home this evening. Coach Alan Evans will take his 4-0 Lady Vikings to Grayson for their fifth straight road game as they tangle with 16th Region Power East Carter.
This will be a good measuring stick for us to see how we're doing in the region and what we still have to work on. And so just looking excited to this game Thursday and see if the girls can finish off this long road trip with another W.
As for the 3-3 Viking boys, they visit Menifee County tonight. Finally in sports, still looking for its first win of the season, the now 0-3 Morehead State soccer team hits the road this weekend for two matches with Kennesaw State on Friday and Chattanooga on Sunday. Head coach Warren Lipka says in order to get that first W of the year, some personnel changes may need to take place.
Get people on the field that want to outwork the opponent and then, you know, build out of that, but you know, until we can get that recipe of hard work and commitment to the cause, it doesn't matter what system you play, it can't be successful.
Friday's game at Kennesaw State is at 7 p.m. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle football opens their schedule tonight, hosting Kentucky Christian. Tip-off at Jane Stadium is at 6 p.m. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. U.S. stocks closed higher this on the last trading day of the month as Wall Street ended August on a high note. Investors also digested a broad swath of economic data ahead of a key employment report tomorrow, And at the close of the Dow, industrials did finish with a gain of 55.67 at 21,948.10. The S&P 500 was up 14.06 at 2471.65. And the NASDAQ composite was up 60.35 at 6428.66. Today, in regard to Trump's cabinet today, a very prominent member, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, had a big interview, and in it he was saying that the administration has a very detailed tax plan, adding they expect to push it through before year end. And, of course, anticipation of tax reform in Washington has been a big reason for the market's overall strength this summer. Of course, worries about tensions between the U.S. and North Korea were reignited this week after North Korea fired a missile that flew over Japan. All that said, stocks were on track for a steady monthly performance as of today. Weekly jobless claims totaled 236,000 this morning, and this matched estimates, while the so-called core personal consumption expenditures increased 1.4% in July on a year-over-year basis. This was the smallest gain since December 2015. The core PCE is the Federal Reserve's preferred measure of inflation, and it's been lagging the central bank's 2% target. Treasury yields fell after the inflation data was released, with a benchmark 10-year note yield trading down to 2.13% as bond prices rose, and the 2-year yield traded near 1.33%. Other economic data released today included pending home sales, which fell 0.8% in June. And, of course, the employment report tomorrow is widely anticipated because it is considered very important in terms of determining the Fed's strategy when they meet in the month of September. Overseas in Europe, stocks are strong, with the Stock 600 index up 0.75%. In the Far East, you had mixed markets, with the Nikkei up 0.7% and the Hang Seng index down 0.45%. In the commodities markets, oil was up 2.5% at $47.10 a barrel, and gold was up 1% at $1,327.20 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were United Health and Pfizer. The worst performers were Disney and Walmart. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Tiffany and Biogen, and the worst performers were Campbell Soup and Dollar General. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $1.27 at $62.06, CSX down 21 cents at $50.20, AEP down 12 cents at $73.63, AK Steel down 17 cents at $5.60, and Marathon Petroleum was up 13 cents to finish at $52.46. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated. Featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Taking one last look at your weather forecast for the WMKY listening area. Tonight, a 60% chance of showers, cloudy with a low around 60 degrees. On Friday, showers with thunderstorms also possible after around 2 p.m. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain, highs near 68. On Friday night, continued showers and thunderstorms with lows around 57 degrees. On Saturday, showers likely, mainly before 3 p.m., chance of precipitation 70%, and cloudy with a high near 65 degrees. In Ashland right now, it's 83 degrees, Winchester 80, Inez 80, Flemingsburg 81, Lexington 83, and here in Moorhead, it's 82 degrees.
It's been 34 years since the premiere of the movie Purple Rain, so today we go out with a little Prince. That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Ellen Barnett, Sean Delaney, Braxton Howard, Cody Robinson, and Chaz Jenkins. WUKY's Josh James, and our feature segment this afternoon came from West Virginia News Service, Dan Heyman. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.